Let's pray and we'll get into the Word of God. I'm going to get into our message today. Father, we thank you for the truth of your holy word. Father, when we look at your word, we take it, Lord, as you speaking to us. Father, open the eyes of our heart this morning. Continue to feed our spirit with your word. Let us mature, let us grow, let us be reminded of the things that you have said. And may it bring life to all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many believe that the Word of God is God speaking to you? Amen. It's God speaking to us. Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to start there this morning. But I want us to talk about some things and the truth that Jesus said here in Matthew 28. Let's begin at verse 16. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." So here we see Jesus. He's getting ready to depart the earth, and he is giving his last words to his disciples. And so he is really saying, he says, "Hey, I have been here, and now I'm giving you the authority to go into all the world." And verse 20 says this, teaching them or discipling men, right? To observe all things, whatever I have commanded you. So Jesus was commanding his disciples. He's saying, you teach others what I have taught you. Hallelujah. Jesus says, teach others what I have taught you and I'll be with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to take you into that. And so when we see the disciples, many of their teachings, at least here, and I want us to go over to 1 John. I want to talk a little bit this morning about fellowship with the Father. And how do we know that we're in fellowship with him? And how do we know for sure that Jesus is alive on the inside of us? That's really what John is talking about. I started reading the book of 1 John way back when I was first going to college, and I first really had dedicated my life to God more fully. Hallelujah. How many know there are many times anybody ever dedicated their life more to God than you had before? Amen. And we're pursuing God, aren't we, here? And dedicating ourselves more and more to the things of God and to his call and his plan for each of our lives. And when we do that, we begin to move into that place with him. We begin to see him in a greater light, in a greater way. And so John is here, and he was very faithful to continue the teachings of Jesus. Here in 1 John, and also we'll see some over in the book of John. I'm going to stay pretty close here to my notes this morning, because I want us to see these things. Now, 1 John was written somewhere around 85 AD, after Jesus had passed. This is about, now they'll give you an idea. Paul had passed away around 65. He was killed. Gave his life. He was a martyr. And the Apostle Paul knew that his end was coming. They're going to behead him. And he was gone around 65 AD. So this is approximately. Now there's, you know, a lot of debate on it, but somewhere around 80, 85 AD, about 20 years after Paul had passed away, John is still preaching. John is still alive. This is probably about 50 years after Jesus was crucified, and John is giving a testimony to Christ, to who Jesus was. He is sharing and he is saying, listen, here's some things. He continued to share the same things that Jesus really taught. Now, there's some confusing verses that used to confuse me here in the book of 1 John. You know, sometimes he would say one thing and it sounds like he's saying another, but really, and a lot of people say, well, John talked a lot about love, and he did. But really, that's not the main theme here. The main theme is that he is sharing with us how to walk free, how to know that you're free of sin, how to walk free, how to walk with God. Amen. Praise God. And not to walk in darkness, but to walk in the light of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's begin at the first verse. I'm going to read a few verses here and we'll begin to talk about that. Verse, this is here, 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For this life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Oh, glory to God. How many know when you're in fellowship with God, your joy can be made full? Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's saying here, he says, we've seen him. We have heard Jesus himself. I walked with him. John's saying, we walk with him. I've looked at him. I've handled him. And I'm here to tell you he is the word of life. I'm here to declare to you who he is and who he was, that he was manifested. He was the Word. Remember what he said in John chapter 1. Amen. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I've seen him. I've touched him. I've handled him. And he is manifest. I've seen it. I bear witness to you right now. I'm showing to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. I'm declaring him to you today so that you can have fellowship with him too. You can know this same Jesus. You can know him. And he said, this is going to bring, I'm saying this for your joy. Now, first of all, I want us to realize something that Jesus said in John 7:16, John chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus said his doctrine was not his, but was given to him, what? By the Father. Hallelujah. So we can see here, John chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine's not mine, but his that sent me. In other words, that of the Father. Hallelujah. One of the reasons Jesus is called the Word of God made flesh is that he never once added or took away from, he didn't alter in any way the doctrine that had been taught to him by the Father. He gave it, just what the Father said. He said, I only say those things I hear my Father say. I only do those things that I see my Father do. He was very careful. And not only by his words, but also by his actions. Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. Now we can see also a few chapters over in John 14:9. Here Jesus is talking to Philip, and he says, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Jesus was the faithful word of the Father. John is declaring he is doing the same thing regarding the word which he saw and heard from Jesus. He said, I saw it. I heard it. Verse 3, he's saying, Now I declare unto you this, that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Glory to God. He said, I'm declaring it. I'm declaring the same thing regarding the word that I saw, that I heard from Jesus. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. We have not added to, we've not taken away from it. We have not altered in any way the gospel that we received from the Lord Jesus Christ. How many think that's real important? That we keep it exactly what God said through Jesus. How many know that Jesus is the express image of the Father? He came to show us the Father, didn't he? Hallelujah. Well, let's move on. Verse 5. So that then is the message which we heard of him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So John is declaring that same message that he saw in Jesus. So we can see part of that in John chapter 8, verse 12. Here John 8, 12 says this, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, He said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. When we have Jesus, in context here, he's talking about the woman who was caught in adultery. A perfect example of walking in darkness, wouldn't it be? Amen. But Jesus is declaring that those who follow him all the way into the new birth would have the same light of life in them that he had within himself. And by that process, he would be set free from sin by the Son of God himself, by Jesus himself. He's set free. We're set free from sin. In Romans chapter 6, he says, How can we live any longer therein? How can we live in sin anymore? He said, I have made you free. Amen? He said, we're no longer bound by that. Hallelujah. But here we see that we receive the light of life, the same kind of light, the same kind of life that was in Jesus when we're born again comes into us. Amen. We receive the light of life. If you're born again, that's enough. It is enough to put you over and to keep you free from sin. How many people have ever seen some people? Maybe they're not, you know, of your persuasion fully or whatever, but every church that I've been to, there's somebody that was bound in sin, but they've been made free, and they live for God. The best they know how, they give themselves to God. I've seen people come down to the altar. Maybe they were an alcoholic or a womanizer or both. They were living in deep sin, but they gave their heart to Christ, and He moved in. The light of life came to them and freed them from the bondage of sin. Maybe that was you. Hallelujah. I was not in deep sin, but we were all, how many know? We've all sinned and fell short of the glory of God, and we all needed Jesus, and we all partake of that light and that life when we give our heart to Him. Amen? It doesn't matter if you were a goody-goody two-shoe and you said, well, you didn't have any great sins in your life. You still needed the Savior, amen? Because we were a fallen race, and we all have fallen. Hallelujah. I don't know of any great sins I ever committed in my life. You know, as far as, you know, we would say partaking into a party world, thank God, He kept me. How many know there's keeping power in Jesus? You say, well, you know, that doesn't mean that I'm greater than someone else. Because at the cross, we all become equal. We all receive the same Spirit. We all receive of the same life. Glory to God. And that's the one place that we all become equal. Our first birth was not equal, but our second birth is. Glory to God. So here we see that by that process, the light of life that He had within Himself, by that process, we're set free from sin by the Son of God Himself. Glory to God. How many are thankful? Let's look down at verse 31 here. I'm going to read a little bit here, 31 through 36 of the same chapter, John 8. It says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and that truth shall make you free. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So here we see that what Jesus is saying, His teaching is when a person is born again, they receive the light of life. It is the same light of life that Jesus had with Him. It would empower believers to walk free from sin the same way Jesus had walked free from sin. Even though He was tempted at all points, just like they were, John is boldly declaring, if you are a Christian, you will walk in the light of life, and you will have fellowship with Jesus through that, with the Messiah, Christ, the Anointed One. You're going to have fellowship with Him. If you're saying you're a Christian, yet you are walking in darkness, you do not have fellowship with Him. He said, verse 6, you're a liar. 1 John chapter 1. He says, you don't have fellowship with God if you're walking in darkness. For an example, someone that is continuously living a life of sin and maybe adultery or drunkenness, any of those things. If it's a continual thing, we're not talking about one-time sin. Because He said in verse 9, hey, you know, those things are covered. But Jesus said His followers would not walk in darkness. You say you are His follower, yet you continue to walk in darkness. Jesus cannot lie, so that means what? That we wouldn't be telling the truth if we're walking in darkness. We would be lying. If you are walking in darkness, and then you're not in fellowship with him. The solution for you is to confess your sins, truly repent from them, and the blood of Jesus will wash you clean again. You will be forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. But you cannot continue to habitually walk in darkness and declare that you're a Christian. And we see that Paul taught the same thing. We looked at these verses not long ago when we were looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11. Now, Paul is teaching the same thing right here. Now, we're talking about someone truly, you know, if we're truly born again, then there should be some kind of change. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. And so here we see that Paul is saying, if you're a man that's called a brother, but you're living in continuous sin, he's saying, hey, with such a one, we shouldn't really eat. John had mentioned that we have fellowship with one another in 1 John. He says, hey, you've got fellowship one another, but that is only as we what? Are walking in the light. If we don't walk in the light with him, would we have fellowship one with another? No, we are because they're walking in darkness. One is walking in darkness. So we not have fellowship. But Paul is saying if a man is habitually walking in darkness and claims to be a Christian, we would have no fellowship with him. And we would say, well, why not? By withholding fellowship, we're declaring no matter how strongly this man claims to be a Christian, by his actions, he's proving he is not a Christian. Now, here we see in 1 Corinthians 5, a little bit earlier, it had said that that this man, particular in this context here, he had said he had had his mother's wife, and apparently he was probably one of the leaders of the church. And Paul is saying, don't have fellowship with that person. Don't say it's okay. It's one thing. And he's talking about habitual sin here. Not a one-time example, not a one-time fall, not just a occasional miss the mark. But this was habitually sinning and living in sin and habitually declaring it's okay. God's okay with this. See, when you begin to excuse things, then we're not willing to change and let God help us. What does God have left to work with? He has nothing. We have to declare, yes, it's one thing when someone is struggling to overcome something, and it's another when they say, hey, God's okay with this. I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to live this way. Hallelujah. How many know that's not right? Why not? By withholding fellowship, we're declaring, no matter how strongly they claim to be a Christian, by their actions, they're proving that they're not a Christian. If I have fellowship with him, others will think I believe it's okay to walk in darkness and say you are a Christian. We must remove the leaven of false teaching from the lump so others are not infected with this heresy also. Christians are the children of light, and Jesus said we would not walk in darkness. I will just pick, let me just pick a few here from our passage. You know, he said, we can see sometimes even in the church, some of these things are still happening. Let's just take, for instance, here, if we look, you know, we can see the word here. He said, now, don't keep company with what? Fornicators, greed, those that are eager for gain. In other words, they're just, that's all they're after. Or drunkenness. There's just three things there that sometimes we see. And these are only three examples of walking in darkness. And what if Christians withheld their fellowship from those who are walking in darkness just in those sins? We might see some people turning around and saying, hey, I need to realize this is wrong. God is not okay with us continuing in sin. Amen. How many know somebody? Oh, well, I'm born again, but every weekend they're out getting drunk. Anybody's ever said, maybe you don't know them, but you've seen that. Or maybe they're, you know, continually. You know, this is very common amongst a lot of the young people in the church right now. Well, we're just going to live together for a while. We'll get married eventually. Yeah, amen. Well, why don't you just wait till you get married? Amen, sister? Hallelujah. As others have done. Because God is important. God has set guidelines. God has set boundaries with His Word for our life. And those boundaries are safeguards to keep us in His light and to keep us walking with His commands, to keep us walking with Him and in His presence and with His power. And when we allow darkness in and let it be a continual thing in our life, we need to ask ourselves, have I really committed my life to Jesus, or am I just playing church? Hallelujah. We need to realize it is important that we walk in the light of life that He has given to us. Hallelujah. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Jesus taught this principle in the parable of the prodigal son, didn't He? If you remember, it's in Luke chapter 15, we can notice, I know most of us know that, the prodigal son who left home, right, and began to waste his inheritance. And so as long as the son was living in sin, he had no fellowship with the father, did he? He didn't have fellowship with his father, even though he was deeply loved by his father the whole time. We know that it is true because the prodigal son truly repented, turned away from his sinful life, and returned to his father's house. And the father saw him a long way off, and he ran to him. It doesn't mean the father doesn't love people. He'll love you as far as you go. And He's looking for you, but He does not have fellowship. We don't have fellowship with Him. We don't have a close relationship with the Father. Because He loved the Son and was hoping each day that the Son would repent and come home, the Son began fully confessing his sin before the Father and was so contrite, he was willing to just be a servant in his Father's house. But the Father not only forgave him, but restored him to the fullness of his sonship and inheritance. As though he had what? Never sinned. It is important to notice that after you have truly repented and turned again to the blood of Jesus as your salvation, then you are forgiven, cleansed from all unrighteousness, and restored to your rights of sonship. Your conscience is fully restored at that same moment. You're a son, a child of light, and your conscience will be constantly prompting you to walk as that child of light. And the Holy Spirit will also bear witness to the fact that you're a son of God, a child of light. When your awareness of sonship is restored, so is your conscience. Amen? And we need to follow that. You know, when we're not born again, you know, your conscience may not bother you. You know, sometimes we have a synthetic conscience in us, don't we? You know, your mother or father, they say, don't steal, don't do those things. Slap your hands as a child. But when you become born again, God places a conscience on the inside of us. The Bible says His law is written on our heart. We know right from wrong, and we can walk in the light. Verse 10 says this of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. We're all the way to verse 10 here. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in him. God's word. So this was the claim a lot of times that the Pharisees, who gave a show to people that they actually kept the law of Moses. Jesus confronted their hypocrisy openly when he said to them in John 7:19, Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go you about to kill me? Why are you trying to kill me? He says, you're not keeping the law of Moses, John 17:19. And then John 8:23-24. John chapter 8, again, but verse 23 and 24, he's talking to them. He says, hey, you don't keep the law of Moses. You're not keeping it. Why are you trying to kill me? What are you? You are hypocrites. Verse 23 and 24 says this. He says, and he said unto them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sin. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So they had to believe on the Christ. He is in the italics there, really. He says, Jesus said, if we look here, he said, don't you believe that I am? Don't you believe that I am? How many know? He was saying, I am God. What Jesus actually said to them, for if you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. Jesus laid down his divinity to be found in fashion as a man. But make no mistake, Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. They could not believe what they had just heard. So they asked him again, verse 25. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said to them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Going back to the beginning of this discourse, we see here in John 8:12, he said it again. He says, here we go. Just like I said from the beginning. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Hallelujah. He said, I'm the light of the world. If you believe in me, you know, if you don't believe in me, if you don't follow me, you don't believe in me, and if you don't follow me, you're never going to be born again. You're not going to know me. They'll never have the power of the light of life within them, and they will never have the power to walk above sin. And they will die as religious sinners by nature. The same condition they were in when he spoke to them. They were claiming they kept the law. They were claiming they had no sin. They were claiming they did not need a Savior. And John says in chapter 1, verse 10, they are liars and the truth is not in them. 1 John 1:10. So that's really what he's addressing. He's saying you can't say that you had no sin. You couldn't, you know, they were saying, hey, we keep the law. And Jesus said, no, you don't keep the law. You're not keeping the law. And if you don't believe who I am, you'll never be born again. You'll never be free of sin. And how many know that's true? But there's hope for everyone. Amen. Hallelujah. There is hope for all. It's not that people can't be born again, but John is explaining, what does that mean? What is it to know him? What is it to have fellowship with him? He said, it is to walk in the light as he is in the light, the same light that he placed in us, and to walk in that light and not to walk in the darkness. Glory to God. Chapter 2. Verse 1, we'll get through this right here. Hallelujah. 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." So here, what Jesus is talking about here, he's not talking about habitual sin. The purpose of this letter here that John is writing, one of those purposes, is that we sin not. And Jesus said those that follow him would not walk in darkness, but would have what? The light of life. Jesus taught that we would know the truth. The truth would make us free from sin. If we'll continue in that, he says, hey, you're going to know the truth. It's going to make you free from sin. You're going to be born again. I'm going to a place, Philip, that you can't come right now. Have you been so long time with me? I'm going there. The Son has set us free from sin indeed, and John is saying God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. You are children of light, and in your new nature there is no darkness. Do not sin because you are a child of light. You are to walk in the light as he is in the light. And so we see here that also what he's talking about is not habitual sin, but if you commit a sin. And the way I found this is in the Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. It is a Greek word, harmartano, H-A-R-M-A-R-T-A-N-O, and it's used in the aortist sense, meaning a single act of sin. If you commit a sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus is a different sort of lawyer, isn't he? You know, when what we're used to. In the earthly court of law, the first plea by the lawyer is almost my client is innocent, right? But in the heavenly court, our advocate, our lawyer, Jesus, brings us before the judge with our confession of being guilty. But then Jesus, our lawyer, presents to the judge. He says, "Judge, my Father." Hallelujah. His own blood shed in payment for our sin. This is what is meant by the propitiation for our sins. We're guilty, but the penalty for our guilt has already been paid in full by the blood of Jesus. Now, some people that are in radical grace, they'll say this process is automatic, but John says, if we look here, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. We have to at least acknowledge that we have sinned. It is important to note that later in John's first epistle, he uses a different tense in regard to sin. He uses the present tense of the verb indicating not the committal of a single act, but a continuous practice of sin. So a good word to describe it would be habitual sin, which means a lifestyle of sin. So John uses two different words here. Here in the second chapter, he's saying, if you commit a sin, there is propitiation for you. Jesus, our advocate, will forgive you when we run to 1 John 1:9. We're not talking about being a perfect life, but we're talking about walking in the light with him. And how many know part of walking in the light is if you miss it or you made that mistake, we confess to the Father and we come and receive forgiveness from him. And he says, I will wash you clean. I'll wash you of all unrighteousness. But you have to decide. You have to say, no, I understand this is sin, Father. I realize that. But if we're in habitual sin and we decide and we say, I'm not talking about struggling. You can struggle with sins. We can fall, but we come back to the Father. We confess it. We make it new to him. You say, well, how many times? Well, Jesus said if they had fallen 7 times 70, right? In one day. You know, if you fail a lot of times, as long as we don't allow it to become a part of our life and we say, I'm not going to identify that that's who I am, but I'm going to continue to praise my Father and let His power begin to transform me and continue to walk with Him and be changed. Hallelujah. We don't want to fall into that place, but we want to come to that place where we know who He is and maintain our fellowship because we're walking in the light. And we don't walk in the darkness. We shun the darkness. We don't let darkness have a part of us. And if someone's saying, hey, I'm your brother, nevertheless, if they're walking and they say, oh, this is okay, this sin is okay, that's what we see in the church somewhat today. Amen. You know, some people are saying, hey, it's okay to live a certain way, right? They can live in sin or sexual sin, and God's okay with that. Matter of fact, we'll even ordain you and make you a important person in the church. We'll make you a leader. We'll make you a teacher of others. And really, the Bible says you make them twice the son of hell as you are. That's what He said to the Pharisees, wasn't it? That's just being pharisaical, saying, hey, I'm a Pharisee. I'm telling you, God's okay with me. Nevertheless, they had sinned. Jesus said, no, you're not keeping the law. You're not staying within the commands of the Lord. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Do we really love Him? We'll walk in the light. Hallelujah. Let's look at 1 John 3:6 for a moment. And here we can see this. Whoever abides in Him sins not. Whoever sinneth hath not seen Him, nor knowing Him. And we're seeing He's talking about habitual lifestyle. You haven't really seen Him. And people don't really know Him if we continue in a sinful lifestyle. They don't necessarily know Him. They don't know Him. And you say, well, you know, verse 8 says this. Let's look at verse 8. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, or he that's in a habitual sin, committing habitual sin. From the beginning, you know, sins from the beginning, you know, he is of the devil, for the devil habitually sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil did not commit just one act of sin and then repent, did he? No. But he continued to sin and still continues in sin to this very day. Those who likewise continue in habitual sin are like the devil. They're not like God, are they? They are of the devil, or their father, the devil. They don't know God. 1 John, verse 9. So, well, how can I know I'm born again? We're going, whoever is born of God does not commit sin, or does not commit what? Habitual sin. For sin remains in him, and he cannot habitually sin because he's born of God. If we're truly born of God, we're not going to live in habitual sin. How many know that's true? We're going to walk in the light of life, he said. Hallelujah. John said in 1 John 2:1, it is possible for a genuine Christian to commit, what, a sin, but it is not possible for a person to habitually sin, to have a lifestyle of sin, remain a Christian. Eventually, a lifestyle of sin will extinguish the life in the seed that was sown. And we see this in Mark chapter 4. Where we see the sower, what, sowed the word. Jesus taught this in the parable of the sower and the four types of ground where the seed was sown. Three out of the four eventually caused the little growing plant to perish. Only in the good ground did the life in the seed flourish. And even then, some 30, some 60, and some 100. In the context of the following verse, you know, in context, the following verse makes sense. It is talking about how the person lives habitually. His lifestyle is either one of righteousness or a lifestyle of sin. The former is a Christian, and the latter is not a Christian. Someone that doesn't know God. Here in chapter 3, verse 9. He said, whoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. In other words, he's been set free from sin. He's truly born again. His nature's been changed. His nature is now in righteousness. It's imperative that we understand. John is saying in John chapter 1 and 2, he is saying Christians do not have to sin. There's a provision made for the Christian who commits a sin. But in John chapter 3, he's saying that the person who lives in habitual sin, a lifestyle of sin, is not a Christian at all. They're still a child of the devil, and they need more than just a simple forgiveness, but they need to be born again. And many in the church don't really know Jesus because they do not keep his commandments. They do not love Jesus. They do not keep his commandments, and they can be very religious and all sorts of things in his name, but they are habitual sinners by lifestyle, and they are still a child of the enemy. Amen. Matthew 7, Jesus said this in verse 21 through 23. Not everyone that says unto me, Matthew 7, 21 through 23, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. This is not saying a teaching of perfection. Only Jesus was perfect, right? That being said, the Bible gives specific lists of certain sins that if we habitually do them, you do not inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul gives that list, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 and 10. We read this when we were looking at 1 Corinthians. I started this a few times, that 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. There are some sins that he says, hey, if you continue in these things, you're not truly born again. You've not really made Jesus your Lord. He is not Lord of your life. You may say, hey, I believe in Jesus. Well, the Bible says that the demons believe that Jesus died. They believe he rose from the dead, but they're not saved. They cannot be saved. He's not saved. He says, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and 10, chapter 6. I'm glad I looked at that twice. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But he said, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So there, it's not that there's no hope. There is hope for people, but they must confess Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. So I don't want to I don't want anybody to feel bad about themselves. You know, we're not talking about a life that says, well, I haven't prayed enough. You know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about someone that's in habitual drunkenness, or they're in habitually trying to deceive people, being extortioner, trying to live out their sexual pleasures and things like that on a continual basis. And they say it's okay. They make what? You know what happens a lot of times? Remember when Jesus said to us, And Matthew 14, he said in verse 25, he was saying 25 to 26, 27 there, he says, what? If you want to be my disciple, we must love less or hate our mother, father, brother, sister, you know, our husband, our wife, our even our own life in our comparison to our love for him. We've got to love less ourselves. And right before that, he was talking about coming to he was giving the parable that, hey, there was a great marriage supper prepared. He said, I was calling them, but they were making excuses. And when we make excuses for our sin, then we're saying, I'm not willing to change. I'm not willing to come to you, Father, and really surrender. So we want to remember not to make excuses, but to say, Lord, I do come to you. I do ask you, Lord, to forgive me of all of my sin, all that may be true. You know, but that's not the kind of lifestyle, you know. If we didn't pray enough, we didn't worship enough, we're not talking about that, but we're talking about sins of the flesh that are dangerous and could lead us to a place where we no longer have fellowship with Him. They lead us away from Him. We really can't know Him. So don't condemn yourself for not being perfect either. God understands growth, and God understands it takes time for fruit to mature on the limbs of even the very best tree. Because what Jesus taught about the word maturing in you, he said in Mark chapter 4, verse 28, for the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. So I want us to realize that it's important that we walk in the light, and that we know we're walking in the light, and we're not spending our life on a continual basis in things that are not of Him, that are ungodly, and we're not going to have that relationship with Him. Amen. Let's pray right now. If you're there this morning, I know I don't think anybody's here, but just right where we are, we can say, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I want to walk in the light. If you've been walking in darkness, say, Lord, I've sinned. I need you. I receive your forgiveness. I ask you to cleanse me. I ask you to be Lord of my life. Come into my heart, Lord. Yes, maybe he's been your Savior. Maybe you follow him. But have you really let him have the seat of your heart? Is he on the throne of your heart this morning? Is Jesus truly Lord of your life? Are you giving him everything? Are you allowing things of darkness to enter in? Are we tempting God by doing little things or letting little things in our life? We need to remember that too. It is the little foxes that spoil the vine. So each of us can continue in the light. We can walk free of sin. We can walk with Him in fullness, in full fellowship, knowing that He loves us, and when we love Him, we're going to continue in that light, and we'll not have fellowship just with Him, but we'll have fellowship one with another. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today. And if there's anyone, let's just right now, just look on the inside. Just say, Lord, I love you. I need you, just out of your heart. If there's any sin in there, say, Lord, I confess my sin. And I receive your forgiveness. I agree with you. That's all it means to confess. I agree, Lord, this is sin. This is something that I have done. Or that you know, if someone's living in sin, that you'll ask God to forgive you. Say, Lord, I'm going to surrender that to you. I don't want that in my life. I don't want to do it again. I don't want to live there. I don't want to walk in darkness. But I want to walk in the light of life. I invite you to be my Lord, to be my Savior, and to help me walk with you all the days of my life. And maybe if you're struggling, we want you to keep praying. We want you to keep meditating the Word of God. Stay in worship. Don't give up. Don't give up. If you have a struggle in your life, please come talk to us. We want to pray with you. We want to help you to continue to walk with Him. We're not talking about that. If you're struggling with the sin, that's a good thing. That means you haven't given up. That means you haven't given in. But sometimes people quit and they just give in. They say, I'm just going to walk this way. I guess God's okay. No, He's not okay. It's not okay. He wants you to walk with Him. He wants you to know Him. Hallelujah. Well, how many are going to walk more and more in the light of God's word? Amen. The light of life that's on the inside of you, following our inward man, continuing to mature and grow in that. Amen. And walk in complete and full fellowship with Him. Hallelujah. God bless you. If you want prayer this morning, if you came for prayer, hallelujah. If there's anyone out there and that's listening this morning, you said, yeah, I've been... You know, I'm not sure I'm born again. I'm not sure if I'm walking with God. And you want that assurance, we want you to type a little chat there. But right now, just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I believe that you died for me. I believe that Jesus paid the penalty for sin. I receive you. I say, come on in, Jesus. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I need you, Lord. I need the Savior. Forgive me my sin. And come and live on the inside of me and help me to walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. If that's you, if you prayed that for the first time, maybe somebody's watching online. They said, I just wanted to see what this was about. And you said, I've never prayed that prayer. Maybe you did and you prayed again. You said, I made Jesus my Lord. We'd like to know about that. Let us know. You can contact us at the website or by phone on our webpage at familyprayercenter.com. The phone number's there. Please give us a call. Let us know that you made Jesus your Lord. Amen.